hesitated in mid-snarl. "Unmeddled with," he finished lamely. "Matches," Victor shouted. "Matches! Hurry!" They all stared at him. Then the chair nodded. "Ordinary fire," he said. "You're right. That should do it. Good thinking, boy." He fumbled in a pocket and produced the bundle of matches that chain-smoking wizards always carried. "You can't burn the odium," snapped Dibbler. "There's heaps of film in there." Victor ripped a poster off the wall, wrapped it into a crude torch, and lit one end. "That's what I'm going to burn," he said.
"Excuse me." "Stupid! Stupid!" shouted Dibbler. "That stuff burns really fast!"
"Excuse me."
"So what? I wasn't intending to hang around in there," said Victor.
"I mean, really fast!"
"Excuse me," said Gaspard patiently.
They looked down at him.
"Me and Laddie could do it," he said. "Four legs are better than two and so forth, you know, when it comes to saving the day."
Victor looked at Dibbler and raised his eyebrows.
"I suppose they might be able to," Dibbler conceded.
Victor nodded. Laddie leaped gracefully, snatched the torch out of his hand, and ran back into the building with Gaspard lurching after him.
"Did I hear things, or can that little dog speak?" said Dibbler.
"He says he can't," said Victor. Dibbler hesitated. The excitement was unhinging him a little.
"Well," he said, "I suppose he should know."
The dogs bounded towards the screen. The Victor thing was nearly through, half sprawled among the cans.
"Can I light the fire?" said Gaspard. "It's my job, really."
Laddie barked obediently and dropped the blazing paper. Gaspard snapped it up and advanced cautiously towards the thing.
"Saving the day," he said indistinctly, and dropped the torch on a coil of film.
It flared instantly and burned with a sticky white fire like slow magnesium.
"Okay," he said. "Now let's get the hell out of..."
The thing screamed. What semblance there still was of Victor left it, and something like an explosion in an aquarium twisted among the flames. A tentacle whipped out and grabbed Gaspard by the leg. He turned and tried to bite it. Laddie ricocheted back down the stricken hall and launched himself at the flailing arm. It recoiled, knocking him over and spinning Gaspard across the floor. The little dog sat up, took a few wobbling steps and fell over.
"Bloody legs been and gone," he muttered.
Laddie gave him a sorrowful look. Flames crackled around the film cans.
"Go on, get out of here, you stupid mutt," said Gaspard. "The whole thing's going to go up in a minute. No, don't pick me up. Put me down. You haven't got time."
The walls of the odium expanded with apparent slowness, every plank and stone maintaining its position relative to all the others, but floating out by itself. Then time caught up with events. Victor threw himself flat on his face. Boom. An orange fireball lifted the roof and billowed up into the foggy sky. Wreckage smashed against the walls of other houses. A red-hot film can scythed over the heads of the recumbent wizards, making a menacing noise, and exploded against a distant wall. There was a high, thin keening that stopped abruptly. The ginger thing rocked in the heat. The gust of hot air lifted its huge skirts in billows around its waist, and it stood, flickering and uncertain as debris rained down around it. Then it turned awkwardly and lurched onwards. Victor looked at Ginger, who was staring at the thinning clouds of smoke over the pile of rubble that had been the odium.
"That's wrong," she was muttering. "It doesn't happen like that. It never happens like that. Just when you think it's too late, they come galloping out of the smoke."
She turned dull eyes upon him.
"Don't they?"
she pleaded.
"That's in the clicks," said Victor. "This is reality."
"What's the difference?"
The chair grabbed Victor's shoulder and spun him round.
"It's heading for the library," he shouted. "You've got to stop it. If it gets there, the magic'll make it invincible. We'll never beat it. It'll be able to bring others."
"You're wizards," said Ginger. "Why don't you stop it?"
Victor shook his head.
"The things like our magic," he said. "If you use it anywhere around them, it only makes them stronger. But I don't see what I can do."
His voice trailed off. The crowd was watching him expectantly. They weren't looking at him as if he was their only hope. They were looking at him as if he was their certainty. He heard a small child say,
"What happens now, Mum?"
The fat woman holding it said authoritatively,
"It's easy. He rushes up and stops it just at the last minute. Happens every time. Seen him do it before."
"I've never done it before," said Victor.
"Saw you do it," said the woman smugly, "in Sons of the Desert. When this lady here,"
she gave a brief curtsy in the direction of Ginger, "was on that horse, what threw her over..."